We're turning to the book of Genesis, chapter 6, and we want to commence to read at verse 13 tonight and read to the end of the chapter. We preached on the opening part of chapter 6 last time, and we're going to have a look at these verses now, beginning at verse 13. Let us now hear the word of God. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And may the Lord be pleased to bless the public reading of his word, for Christ's sake. Amen. Now, as I mentioned this morning, the subject of the message tonight is Mr. Noah built an ark. What do you do or look at first when you pick up a newspaper? It has been suggested by many people that the majority of people look at the pictures. Well, the Bible is a wonderful book full of pictures. In fact, it is the greatest picture book in the whole world. Sometimes in the newspaper you see a picture of somebody, maybe a famous personality or a well-known public figure, and that prompts you to say to yourself, what has she or what has he been up to? So you turn over to the appropriate page and find the article about that person and read the story, but you see the picture first. The gospel of God's grace is pictured for us in the book of Genesis. And the Lord has put many of these wonderful pictures in the first chapter or on the first pages of his book. And then as we turn over the pages, we gradually get a fuller revelation of the gospel of God's grace. We get a fuller picture of the gospel of God's one and only way of salvation. One of the best loved and most familiar pictures in the book of Genesis is the ark that Noah built. It is one of the clearest and most comprehensive types of salvation in Christ to be found anywhere in all of the scriptures. And as you know, Noah was preserved from the waters of the flood of God's divine judgment because he was safe in the ark. And tonight, for a time, I want to focus on this wonderful illustration of God's merciful provision for sinners in the light of the coming day of judgment spoken of in the Bible. The ark is a beautiful type of the salvation provided for sinners in and through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Mr. Noah built an ark. I have a number of simple things that I want to share with you about this well-known, this familiar story that we've heard about so many times in the past. And you may even be saying to yourselves now, well, I know everything that there is to know about Noah and his building of the ark. That may be the case, but I pray that tonight the Lord will even give us new light on this old story that has been around for a long time. I have three simple things I want to share with you. Number one, the divine instructions to erect the ark is the first thing. The ark was built according to a divine blueprint. It was built according to divine instructions. Every detail of its construction was like that of the tabernacle. It was divinely given. It was built according to a divine plan, and it proved to be a divine provision. If you read through these verses 14 through 19, you will discover that the word ark appears seven times. And as I often have told you in the past, seven is the complete number, or the perfect number. And that's deeply significant in the light of what we're talking about tonight, because the ark was a perfect plan. Now, we've got to understand this. The ark was not a ship, nor was the ark a boat. It was more like a barge. It was a floating chest. It was a box more like a coffin, but it certainly wasn't a ship, and it wasn't a boat. That it was a divine command is clear from verses 13 and 14. If you look there at those verses, you will see what I mean. Notice how verse 13 begins, "And God said unto Noah," the ark was God's idea, "the end of all flesh has come before me." So God made this decision. And then his instruction given to Noah is found in verse 14, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." So this was a divine command. It's clear from these verses before us. It all began with God. And everything in these few verses before us is about him. In verses 13 and 17, we have God's pronouncement. Notice what God says, "I will destroy them with the earth." And again in verse 17, God says the same thing. He's going to destroy all men upon the earth. So that's God's pronouncement. And then we have God's pact in verse 18. Notice what it says in verse 18, "But with thee will I establish my covenant." And this is the first place in the Bible where that word covenant is found. And a covenant is an agreement between two parties or two groups. And it has salvation for its starting point. So the covenant that God made with Noah had at its very roots salvation. And then in these other verses you have God's provision. And God's provision for Noah and his family was the ark. And before the flood ever came, and before the ark was ever made, a means of escape existed in the mind of God. It was no afterthought. Judgment was coming upon the earth. And it's interesting that that word earth is found five times in verses 11, 12, and 13. It's important. God is emphasizing this. There was sin upon the earth. Men were wicked. They were filled with violence. The earth was corrupted, and God was going to pour out his wrath and his judgment upon men who lived on the earth. Judgment was coming. So too, in relation to the salvation of sinners, God from eternity has purposed to redeem a people unto himself through Christ, who was a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. The ark was God's provision for Noah and for those who belonged to his family, just as Christ is God's provision for believing sinners today and their families who believe. God revealed to Noah his design, and he ordered him to erect a place of refuge into which he could flee, and into which his family would flee, and into which any who wanted to enter in could flee, because judgment was coming. In verse 17, we're told for the first time how God was going to punish the world. This is what God said, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth." So judgment was coming. Up to this point of time, Noah did not know exactly how that judgment was coming. But it was enough for him to know that judgment was coming. And now God expands upon his revelation. And he tells Noah, "I'm going to destroy the world by a flood." God will never destroy the world by a flood again. He's given to us the sign of the rainbow, and we'll preach on the rainbow later on. But God has given to us the sign of the rainbow, indicating to us he never destroyed the world by a flood again. The next time, he's going to destroy the world by fire. And the judgment that is spoken of in the Bible is a fiery judgment of God's judgment and wrath. And this word flood is found 13 times in the Bible. Now you'll find other words translated flood in the Bible, but this particular word means a deluge. So God has come to Noah. He is revealing to him his design. He's telling him that judgment is coming. He's given to him his command, you've got to build an ark. Now think for a moment about the material of the ark. Verse 14, it was to be made of gopher wood. Now we're not too sure what this gopher wood was. Most commentators that I have read think that it was cypress. Others think it may have been a cedar. But whatever, what we have before us teaches us an important lesson. And that lesson is this, that life comes out of death. It can be secured only by sacrifice. Before the ark could be made, trees had to be cut down. That which secured Noah's salvation was obtained by the death of these trees, or if you like, by the sacrifice of these trees, before a refuge could be provided. We have here a hint at the humanity of Christ. The trees from which the wood for the ark were taken were a thing of the earth, reminding us of what Isaiah tells us about Christ, his description of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, he describes Christ as a root out of a dry ground. You see the way everything is tied together? So Christ, who is the eternal Son of God, must become the Son of Man, part of which was made out of the dust of the earth, and as such be cut down or cut off, as Daniel puts it. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, he talks about the Messiah being cut off before a refuge could be provided for sinners. Think about the measurement of the ark. Verse 15, the ark was a vehicle of God's love and mercy. There's no doubt about that. And in these verses, we are told the length of the ark, 300 cubits. And I take the cubit to refer to 18 inches. So it was 300 cubits in length, 450 feet long, 50 cubits broad, 75 feet, and then its height was 30 cubits, 45 feet high. Now apply this to God's love in Christ. Ephesians 3 verse 18 talks about the length and the height and the breadth of the love of God. And I do believe that even in what we have before us, what we're reading here in this story of Noah building an ark, we are reminded of the breadth and the height and the love of God towards sinners. It was a large vessel, and it had three stories or three decks, according to verse 16. This is why the ark is taken as a tremendous picture of salvation. For at the cross and in heaven there's room for all of God's people, all who repent, all who will come, all who will believe, all who will trust in Christ alone. We often sing there's room at the cross. And thank God heaven will be populated by an innumerable number of those who believe in Christ. For all of God's people. Think about the making of the ark. Verse 14, Noah is commanded, make thee an ark. And the word make is found five times in these verses. It speaks of grace. The making of this means of salvation was by grace. And by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And this involved the execution of God's divine and sovereign plan. And Noah, a solitary man, was appointed to accomplish God's plan of salvation. That's deeply significant because God appointed another man, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to execute his plan of salvation and to provide a full salvation for sinners. So the task of saving a people from judgment was committed to a man whose name means rest, or a man whose name means comfort. What a comfort that is. What rest we have in Christ, the one who accomplished God's great purpose of redemption and providing salvation for sinners. To Christ, God's beloved Son, was entrusted the task of providing salvation for lost sinners. The work of redemption was accomplished by Christ alone. Now, we're not told that anybody else helped Noah. Now, if you read the scriptures, you get no indication. And it's possible that his sons helped him. It's possible that others were employed during that time, but we're not expressly told that. And the picture we have here is of Noah single-handedly building that ark. Now, I'm not saying that was the case, but that's what the Bible would seem to indicate. The Bible says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And then the Lord said to Noah, I want you to pitch it within and pitch it without. Verse 14. The Hebrew word is kafar, which is translated pitch, only two times. And it's the word that is translated atonement in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. It's the blood that maketh atonement. There's the word for pitch. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And the ark was to be pitched without. And that's deeply significant. Why was that the case? The pitch on the outside was for the eye of God. So when he looked upon the ark, he saw the covering that spoke of the atoning blood of Christ, which alone could satisfy the claims of divine justice and save Noah and the souls with him and the ark from condemnation. And then the pitch was applied within, and the pitch applied within was for the eye of Noah and his family. It assured Noah and those inside the ark of their salvation in the ark. Nothing is going to happen you here because you're covered with the atoning blood. God sees it from the outside and you see it from the inside, and you have the assurance that all will be well when the storm comes. All will be well when the judgment falls. There's not a drop of water will get through because of the pitch. The pitch covered them from the wrath of a sin-hating God. And after God gave the command to build the ark, the next thing we read is, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded. And then the Lord said in the first verse of chapter 7, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Do you see what I'm getting at here? God said unto Noah, build an ark. And then we're told that Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Then the invitation was given to show and to teach that when he began his work, it was speedily finished. And when Christ went to the cross, that work was speedily finished. And he cried, it's finished. And then God says, come, because of the finished work. So the work was done, the work was finished. And then the invitation was extended. So we have here the divine instructions to erect the ark. And then the next thing we notice here is the divine intention expressed in the ark. So the plan was given to Noah. It foreshadowed the finished work of Christ. Noah was to build the ark and to offer a way of escape from coming wrath to a doomed generation. Verses 17 and 18 of the chapter make this abundantly clear. The intention of the ark was therefore to provide salvation for perishing souls. That makes it clear that salvation is available. Once Noah finished the task that God gave to him, then God, in his grace, came to him in verse 1 of chapter 7 with the invitation, come thou and all thy house into the ark. So the work that God gave to Noah was now finished. And what did Jesus cry on the cross? It is finished. The work the Father gave him to do was finished. It was complete. And because the work was completed, God then invited men to enter in and be saved. Salvation was now therefore available to those who were invited. It was available for those who would come, and God pledged to save those who would enter in. He gave that promise to Noah and his family, enter in and be saved, those who would take the appropriate steps by his grace. And the plan for the ancient world in the days of Noah is the same plan that God has implemented today for men and women. There must be a response to God's word. There must be a turning to Christ. There must be an acceptance of the invitation and the gospel. The message is come. Come, for all things are ready. The work has been completed. Christ has died. Blood has been shed. Salvation has been purchased. Now, the only thing you need to do is come. Look and live. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Salvation is available to whosoever will. And all who come to Christ through faith and enter in will be saved. There's no doubt about that. I have no qualms about that at all. Salvation is available. Salvation is acceptable. In verse 7 of chapter 7, we're told that Noah went in. In fact, you'll find those words went in there a number of times in verses 9, 15, and 16. And then the word entered is also used there in verse 13. And the man to whom God showed mercy and grace entered in and was saved. You've got to enter in. So you can see them coming. Noah has brought in all of the animals, the clean and the unclean. He watches as his wife goes on board. He watches as his three sons go on board. He watches as his daughter-in-law is going on board. And then he himself entered in. Only eight enter in. Salvation is acceptable. They accepted the invitation. They believed God. They believed that judgment was coming. They acted by faith. And what it meant for Noah to be in the ark in his day is what it means for us to be in Christ today. To be in that place of safety. To be in that place of security. To be saved from wrath to come. And between the saved and the storm was the judgment-proof timbers of the ark covered with the pitch without and the pitch within. And Noah and his family willingly availed themselves of what had been fully and freely provided. They didn't put it off. They didn't wait another moment. When the invitation was given, they immediately responded. They had been waiting for a long time to enter in. And now that crucial moment, that fateful day had arrived. That all-important moment had come. They couldn't put it off. They couldn't delay it any longer. Come, enter in, and be saved. And just like the sinner who freely and willingly receives Christ, Noah and his family came, and they entered in. Salvation is acceptable. And when they entered in, they were safe and secure in the ark. They were shut in. Their lives were hid with Christ and God. And that's the way the Apostle Paul puts it in the book of Colossians 3, verse 3. Your life is hid with Christ and God. When Noah and his family entered in, God shut the door. Verse 16 of chapter 7. Having entered the ark, God was then responsible for his preservation. The ark not only was a shelter from the storm, but also there was sustenance for those on the inside, according to verse 21. And take unto thee all of the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Every need was anticipated. Every need was met. They were going to be in the ark for over a year. How were they going to survive? Now you think about all of the animals they went in two by two. Think about the individuals in there for a year or more. So every need was anticipated by God. So the ark provided shelter from the storm, but it also provided sustenance for the souls inside the ark. And that tells us that every need has been met for God's people in Christ. God will meet you at the point of your need in Christ. You may not be able to comprehend everything and understand everything. The all-important thing is you need to take that step of faith. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to come to Christ. And as you come to Christ, then everything will come together, and you will find security in Christ, and then sustenance to sustain you in your walk with God. And that's what they found. And then salvation is advisable. Verse 10, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Salvation is advisable because judgment is coming. For 120 years during the time of building the ark, God had been patient. God had been merciful. God had been gracious unto the people of Noah's day. For 120 years, God waited. For 120 years, God gave an invitation through Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness. As he built the ark, he preached righteousness. He warned of judgment to come. God has given me a message. He's going to destroy the world, and he's going to destroy the world by a flood. A flood? What's a flood? They didn't even know what rain was. And God gave them every opportunity to repent, but they didn't. Judgment was coming, just as Noah said it would come, and it did come. Now notice, there was only one window. What was the window for? Remember what Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The window was for a light and ventilation. And the word that is used here for window is a very rare word. And I couldn't understand for a long time what it meant. It was to be set in a cubit above. And a cubit shalt thou finish it above. In verse 16, I couldn't understand what that meant. And then as I did some more research, I thought about the situation in the ark. You have all of these different animals. You have these 8 people inside for a whole year. How was that whole area going to be ventilated? Was it just going to be a little window on the roof of the ark? How was the whole place going to be ventilated? And then, as I continued to study, I came to this conclusion that it was a window 18 inches deep all the way around the roof line. The window was for a light and ventilation. Remember what Jesus said, I am the light of the world? Why did God say put a window above? He wanted the people to keep looking up, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. Then we're also told that they had one door. And it's deeply significant that Jesus used this very symbol in John chapter 10 in the story of the sheep and the sheepfold, and he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. Now, we're not told the dimensions of the door, and that's deeply significant. The door was both a door of invitation and a door of preservation, because when Noah entered in, the Lord shut him in. The Lord undertook his security. In a similar fashion, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He is both the entrance into God's salvation and the one who ensures it. No dimensions are given, as I indicated. It's high enough and it's wide enough to let in all who will come and trust in him. And it was in the side. When Jesus, who is the door, was hanging on the cross, yes, his hands had been scarred and his feet had been impaled to the cross. And this soldier, for whatever reason, came with a spear and he plunged it into the side of Jesus. And out came the water and the blood. So we have this ark with one window, and Jesus said, I am the light, singular, of the world. And then the door was put in the side of the ark, and Christ, who is our ark, had the side wounded for sinners on the cross. What a wonderful picture. The ark is a concise and a wonderful type and picture, comprehensive type of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Noah was in control of the window. Remember, he opened the window to let the raven out and the dove out and so on. But God was in charge of the door. Not only do we have one window and one door, but there's only one ark, because there's only one way of salvation. It's not a selection of ways to pick and choose from. There is no alternative to the means of forgiveness. And Jesus says, I am the way. And then we come to the final point. We have already touched on this. We have the divine invitation to enter the ark. Notice how chapter 7 verse 1 begins, and the Lord said unto Noah. It begins with God. Why? Because salvation is of the Lord. That's simple. That's plain. It's clear. It was his idea, and so it was his invitation. So God's idea was to save men, and when that work was finished, he gave the invitation to enter in. The invitation was extended. The gospel invitation was extended to Noah in that glorious word, come. And this is the first time the word come is found, and it's found about 600 times in the Bible. Come is a gracious invitation. Come intimated that the Lord was present in the ark. The Lord didn't say, go in, I'm out here, go in. He says, come in, I'm in here. Indicating that the Lord was in the ark, reconciling men unto himself. He's on the inside. I will be with you in the ark. I will be with you during the time of judgment. I will be with you during that whole period of time when you'll be in the ark. Come, he says. Don't go. He says, come. Come to me. He was already in the ark, and God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. In some sense, God would be there with him all the time. Salvation is simply the shutting in of all those who are saved with him. Everything about the ark speaks of grace. And that includes the invitation to enter. When all was ready, when all was complete, God said, come. And that word come means come now. Salvation is for the whole family. Come thou and thy family in. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. What a joy to see household salvation. To see a husband and wife united in Christ. Because if that's not the case, a day of separation will come. The day when one will be called to the presence of God to glory, when the other will be cast down into a lost eternity to be separated forever from the presence of God, when sons and daughters will be separated from loved ones in Christ, when fathers and mothers will be separated and cast away from the presence of God and the other taken to glory, a day of separation is coming. And that's why the invitation is given. Come, thou and the whole family. Get into the ark, flee to Christ, get under the blood, be reconciled. Come, thou and all thy family, into the ark. Come now, don't wait until tomorrow. Behold, now is the accepted time to come. That's the warning from God's word. Don't wait until tomorrow. You may be moved now, tonight, but tomorrow you could be as hard and as indifferent as ever. You've hardened your heart against God, and he that has been often reproved, hardeneth his heart, shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy. The Lord has come so many times, he's drawn so near on different occasions, and you've turned away, and you've hardened your heart. It's not God's fault. It's your own fault. Don't blame God if you become hard. He set the gospel before you so many times. He's called you, he's appealed to you. He's made the gospel clear, and yet you persist in your sin. You harden your neck, and suddenly God will come. He'll cut you off, and for eternity you'll be damned. And the way of salvation is so simple, so clear. The work has been done. Salvation has been accomplished. The work has been completed. It's finished. All you have to do is come. Take that step of faith and come. And leave the rest to God. He'll take care of you. He will make the way clear and straight for you. He'll bring you through. He'll take you through. He will lead you through. That's grace. Now, depend upon yourself. And you'll always fail. Turn over a new leaf. You'll always fail. People who turned over a new leaf at the beginning of the year are as far back as ever. Don't depend upon yourself, depend upon Christ. Don't depend upon your feelings. Don't depend upon what you pray or what you say or what you think. Depend upon what he has done. That's the important thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can put up arguments. You can give me 1,001 different reasons why you will not come to Christ. And everyone's only an excuse. The problem is you. And the problem with you is this. You want to have your sin, and at the same time you want to have a passport to heaven. It doesn't work that way. You've got to repent of your sin and believe the gospel. And if you refuse, the day will come when the door will be closed and they'll be outside. The invitation was extended. The invitation was expanded. In verse 4 we're told, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth." So I'm going to give another 7 days. The invitation was given, come. And then God says, I'm going to wait another 7 days. God and grace waited 7 more days. So after all the years of building, God gave the final announcement, and he waited 7 more days. He waited another week. And during that time, he gave the final invitation to Noah and announced to him the coming of the flood within 7 days. So 7 days to go. I do believe that Noah walked about with a heavy heart. He looked into the faces of his neighbors and his friends and those that he had known for a long time. He thought to himself, 7 more days and they'll be lost. 7 more days and the judgment's coming. 7 more days and they're not saved. So God expanded the invitation. 7 more days, waiting a little bit longer. Did they repent? No. They hardened their hearts. And then that brings me to the final thing. The message is over. The invitation ended. And they that went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased and bare up the ark. And it was lifted up above the earth. So that crucial moment came. Noah looks around for the last time. His heart is breaking. People are laughing. They're saying, "Noah, you're a fool." He turns around with a heavy heart. He moves in. In some mysterious way, God, who was responsible for the door, shut him in. And then it began to rain. And you can see the people looking at each other. What's happening now? Was Noah right after all? What is this? And then the rains began to come down. A deluge. The flood. That's the word. The deluge came. And it kept on raining and raining and raining. And then the waters beneath broke out. And water came from below. And it began to increase. And the people began to panic. They began to head for high ground. Noah was right after all, but it's too late. And they could see as the water increased, then the ark was lifted up. It began to float. And they were running to the high mountains and the hills. But there was nowhere to flee. Because the water continued to increase until the highest mountain was covered. God has come. God has sent his judgment. He warned the people, but they wouldn't listen. And Noah and his wife and family were safe in the ark. Mr. Noah built an ark. Mr. Noah entered into the ark. Mr. Noah was saved in the ark. We don't know how many people were on the earth at that time. There could have been 1 million, 2 million more. They're all gone. Carried away in the judgment. They're lost. And only 8 souls survived. God had been patient for about 1,000 years, and the cry of the old prophet still rings out today in our ears, prepare to meet thy God, because judgment is coming. Flee into the ark. What a story this is. It's a simple story. It's a wonderful story. It's a story full of instruction for us in the service tonight. The divine instructions to erect the ark. The divine intention expressed in the ark. And the divine invitation to enter the ark. But only 8 took up the invitation and entered in. So few. And so few today enter in. The masses are going on carelessly to hell. But the day of judgment is coming, just as Noah predicted in his day, and the judgment came. And as I indicated earlier, as it was in the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marriage, continuing on as normal, until that first drop of rain was felt from on high. And then it was too late. And they concluded, Noah was right. We were wrong. Now we're going to have to suffer for it. Mr. Noah built an ark. May you flee to Christ tonight and enter into the ark of God's grace and salvation. We'll bow for prayer.